Hello, I'm Astrid.
And I'm Sophie. This is Season 2 of Not By Accident, a documentary podcast series about choosing to become a single mother and coping with being one.
Not By Accident, a podcast about me and my mum.
If this is the first time you're listening, it will make more sense if you start at the beginning. This is episode 23, Community. We stand at the bottom of our stairs in the summer sun and wave goodbye as the removal truck pulls out. From our window, we've seen our downstairs neighbours' whole lives be packed up this morning. We kiss them goodbye and watch the truck slowly drive down the gravel road, past the other teachers' houses, past the school, and out of sight. They'll be in Copenhagen tonight to begin their new life. It's close enough for weekend visits, but it's the end of us having a surrogate family here. I think of all the dinners, the Christmas and New Year's Eve celebrations, fireworks, summer evening barbecues by the trampoline, brewing and sampling beer with him, sharing the spoils of spearfishing trips, endless cups of coffee on the couch with her as we pour our hearts out about love, hope, ambition, grief, pregnancy, friendship and family. The daughter's transformation from a toddler to a preteen, the son's from a preteen to a warm young man. The unexpected passion witnessed as their dog and another ran from opposite ends of the valley to unite, while we stood, drinks in hand to celebrate the end of term, mouths agape, witnessing the conception of Sputnik. He's now twice your size and just as exuberant. Meta has been the principal of the European Film College for years now. She arrived a year after me. Her vision for the school and its transformation have been inspiring to be a part of. Our friendship at home and partnership at work have been central to my life here. This is good for them. They're going home, closer to their family. But as the truck's dust settles, I glance through the window into their bare apartment and I feel an emptiness. I can't help but wonder if we should be leaving too, to go home to our family. But we're not. The energy to leave is beyond me. And more than that, I feel a sense of responsibility to make sure the transition to new leadership is healthy and that what we've built can't unravel. I have a role. After our Greek holiday, we're immediately back in. I spend a week getting the new teachers up to speed, then all the faculty return and we plan for the students' arrival, distribute responsibilities, amp ourselves up for another year. We're a well-oiled machine. This acting principal caper is working. Our new principal, Nadia, is quite a find. Coming to us from Denmark's public broadcaster, executive producer of some of my favourite TV, Borgen, The Killing, The Legacy. I can learn from her. She'll start after the students, but comes to give an opening address. Meta's old apartment, her new one, is a building site, so I cautiously offer my spare bedroom. And she accepts. Eating breakfast together in our pyjamas is an intimate start to a professional partnership, but it's fitting for this place, where work and home lives are intertwined. You like her, and I do too. The year is away like a fast-moving train. In the past, I'd have lost myself in the momentum. Not so much this year, though. This year I have you to force me to go home, to switch off, to be still, to be present.
Hi!
But the school is maybe 50 metres from our home. We're both fixtures. There's a high chair there for our meals. We play in the cinema when it's empty with Steen, the sound teacher.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Hiding behind seats, playing chasies, discovering the joy of microphones. The film studio has trolleys, smooth floors, and so much space where acting teacher Michael gives you rides. You play on the green screen. You ride your little bike through vast rooms all over the building and bash away on the student's drum kit. It's an extension of home for us, for all the students and for all the teachers. That's how I can be engaged and still be with you. I can't imagine there's another film school like it. I can't imagine there's a better place to grow up. If only our family were closer.
Today is Ibuki's birthday. We have a new little Harper baby cousin and nephew. And it's been a very emotional day because of that. Oh, you mean that toy made lots of noise? I don't know what to say about that. I wish I'd... It's hard to be away. Oh, you still? It's still on, isn't it? Oh, did you turn it back on? You little rascal. How did you know how to do that? Anyway, Astrid saw him on a FaceTime for the first time, and that's what she said. She said, now she's hugging a teddy bear. So this is Astrid at 20 months, I think. And Grandpa's arriving in about 3 weeks. But we wish we could go and see little Ibuki.
I think back to my first months as a student here, 15 years ago, to the dawning realisation that I had none of my friends, family, my culture, to provide a context for who I was, to help define me. It was my first extended time in the world, without all the things and people that I thought made me, me. And slowly, I found that new friends could learn who I was, would get to know me on my own, without context. That I exist as a fully formed person on my own. It was liberating to a point, but also fragile. My own sense of identity was fragile. Strengthened by this experience, creatively most of all, but not strengthened enough to come out yet, though I fantasized about doing it here. No, it took years more to find the courage and certainty. But I did learn that I exist. Even when I wish I could run away from myself, I'm still here, wherever in the world I am.
Baba Shark, Baba Shark, Baba Shark, Baba Shark.
Baba Black Sheep.
Wow.
Should we see if Granny sang?
Mama.
You're blowing her kisses already. That's nice.
My nightmares of you falling to certain death have stopped since we moved. Our new safe ground floor home shares a garden with Jim, Anna, and their three boys. Jim is the screenwriting teacher, and I've known them for years, but it's now that our relationship starts to become really close. You and Elliot have a bond. He's 2 years older, but the baby of his family. And now that you're on your feet, he loves his adoring playmate. We often get together for a drink or a meal in the garden. The trampoline is safe, flush with the ground, and the three boys play so gently as you squeal with delight and get better and better at keeping your balance. They're like three older brothers, but without the bickering. Elliot knocks on our window to come and play, so we put jackets over sleepwear. I take coffee to warm my hands, and I lean against a tree out of the way of your good time. Sometimes you spot the boys kicking a ball, or once it's colder, throwing snowballs, and bring your shoes and jacket, insisting we join them.
say hi to Elliot.
I love you being exposed to this kind of family life, so different to ours, so full of activity, full of people, full of the smells of baking bread and fresh-cut flowers. We drop in often, and because I don't work with Anna, our friendship is different to the others I have here. It's never about work, and that's good. It's gentle domestic escapism and companionship. Nadia, the new principal, moves in and begins. Our handover is long and healthy, and her steady, respectful approach is all I'd hope for. She recognises the value of community here and invites all the teachers to her home for drinks and meals. The house is unrecognisable, which makes it less sad to visit. It still, to me, epitomises Danish style in its furnishings and artworks, but the vibrancy of Mette's interior has been replaced by quiet calm, in part because it's no longer inhabited by children. Nadia's a fully grown, but she welcomes you here. She and her husband Anas love having you around. Paul and Liana moved in upstairs from us. He's the new producing teacher. They've come here from Edinburgh. We're instant friends, and through the seasons we go upstairs for drinks on the balcony, for dinner and dance parties instigated by you. And together we make a snowman twice your size after the first big fall. When we're alone at home, if there's ever a noise, you look at the ceiling and say, "Paul!" The sounds of their life through the floor keep us both company. We travel together to Cardiff, where Paul and I attend a film teaching conference, while Liana sees the city with you. I'm your only parent, and we have no family around, but because of our friends, amazing opportunities are still within reach. Who would have believed it? I take you to a conference dinner, though I'm not sure it's appropriate. There are no other children. But we're a team, and I know you're a charming dinner companion. Others are taking husbands and wives. I can't believe anyone would take issue, and they don't. Quite the contrary. But you're tired, teary, and it's too much to expect. It's not perfect this time. We don't linger. But I needed to try. I wanted not to miss out. I don't want to give up on everything from my old life.
Show. That means sleep, doesn't it?
Show.
Who are you going to see today? Do you know where we're going?
Yeah.
We're going to Trina's house, aren't we? And if Holger's there, you'll see Holger and you'll see Malvis and Vita and Johan and Trina.
Trina, who cares for you while I work, has become so much more than a carer. It took time for us to get the measure of each other, but now it makes me happy seeing her every day and sharing you. You're happy when I leave you and happy when I pick you up. After another day of playing with your peers in her calm presence, in her peaceful home, she makes it look so easy, caring for 5 kids under 3, and I can see that she loves you as much as you love her. When I'm invited to a wedding in Copenhagen, she offers to have you for the night. I can't believe her kindness. I know there's nowhere you'd feel safer, so we do it. And though I pine for you each hour that I'm away, our longest time apart so far, you're completely happy, you're fine. You're not yet 2, but already independent. This makes me sad and happy. You're growing up.
Uh-oh.
I know, look at that, all over the floor.
Mess.
Big mess. Are you having fun? Are you going to help me clean up? Oh no, you got me that time. Oh dear. So much mess. Oh, stop it. Don't start throwing it all. Then I'll get upset. Don't be unreasonable. No, you finished because you've started throwing things. That's not good. That's not fair. No, it's not funny.
Dirty.
Very dirty. Oh, that's a good girl doing some wiping for me too. Good girl.
Wipe.
Yeah, wipe.
Wipe.
Yeah. Clean up the mess, huh?
Yeah.
Are you ready to get out?
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Now just...
My dad has finally finished the work that was delayed by his cancer treatment, finished writing his judgments, his monumental responsibility. He's well and he's free. The first thing he does is book a ticket. Jenny has things to do at home, so she won't join him. Or is this an excuse because she understands the importance of his relationship with you, of you spending time alone with him? His special role, since you don't have a father. I don't know. Maybe. I had told him a year ago how concerned I was to take you away from family, that you might lose your connection, that you might not remember. I didn't go so far as to ask him to come, but close. Whatever the drive, he has taken it upon himself to represent. My dad and I have travelled together twice before this, just the two of us. When I was 15, a young 15, we toured Europe, once I recovered from a long illness. Something great to compensate for all I had been through. And it was great. He showed me the world, exposed me to history and culture. We got to know and respect each other as two individuals from two generations with overlapping interests and concerns and an openness to listen and to try to understand the perspective of the other, the experience of the other. This is the relationship we still have. We provide each other with context for policy and politics. We help each other understand the world differently. We don't always agree, but through empathy and conversation, we find places to meet. When I finished film school in Denmark at 25, he flew to join me for a second time. Our dynamic had shifted. He'd been entirely responsible on the first trip, and now we split it. I'd gained confidence with practicalities, currency conversions, train connections, communications, and I could contribute. Now on this trip, me aged 40, a parent too, him at 70, a guest in my home for the first time, I'm in the driver's seat, literally. I'm showing him this foreign place that is our home. We are two adults, there's no question. I still lean on him in life, far more than he's ever likely to lean on me. But we are two adults who like and respect each other. There's also no question, and you should know this, Astrid, there's no question that this time, Grandpa travelled from Australia to Denmark all that way at the first opportunity, just to see you.
Hey!
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 With the three of us in the house, a new routine emerges. You climb on him in the mornings to wake him up. Together you brush your teeth and hair many times a day, just for the fun of it. You're fascinated by his habits. You want to do things just the way he does. We play ball in the house, like we did when I was a kid, to my mother's annoyance. We go for drives in the countryside, visit Viking burial mounds, ruined castles, windswept beaches, overgrown forests. He comes to pick you up from daycare at Trina's, to the college for meals. I want to show him what our life is like, to share it with him, so he can picture us at home, at work, at childcare, at the supermarket, at the beach. I won't have to describe it anymore now that he's seen for himself. I don't fully understand why this matters so much, but it does. The new principal, Nadia, comes for drinks. I'm touched that she wants to, and later she says she can understand who I am a little better after meeting him. My background, my humour, my thoughtful reserve. For me, this is a compliment. Paul invites him over to watch rugby, to share a game with one of the few people around here who gets it. Jim and he hit it off too. Things click. The visit bridges our two worlds, making each more real as we live in the other. I feel three-dimensional. I feel more complete. There's a Christmas market in the town, the arrival of the Yule Man, Santa Claus, the lighting of the town's tree. It's not quite how I imagine. It's like stepping back in time. The narrow streets are crowded. We run into your friend Holger. We run into people we know in town who are not my students or my colleagues. This is new after 5 years here. You've expanded my world. Santa arrives by fire truck. We follow the crowd past thatched cottages, through cobblestone streets to the harbour, where an a cappella choir dressed as sailors from another era sing carols. As Santa climbs onto the museum frigate, to the modest Christmas tree on the bow, the crowd waits with bated breath. Click. The tree lights come on to applause. We can hardly see them, but that's it. That was the climax. It's hilariously underwhelming. Santa climbs down to his fire truck and heads back to the station as the crowds disperse. It lacks the commercialism I expect of Christmas, and it dawns on me how nice this is. The innocence. A little bit of old-fashioned Christmas for you and Grandpa to share. His 10 days are up. We drive to tiny Aarhus Airport, say goodbyes that feel inadequate, as goodbyes so often do, and watch, long after he thinks we've left, through the glass door, unpacking for the security scan, toiletries, electronics, repacking, belt and shoes off, through, on again. He walks onward as we wave, hoping he'll turn back, but no. And then he's out of sight. So I scoop you up and let my tears drop on your shoulder as we make our way to the car and to our home, which will feel empty without him. I wish I was more than just me for you. In the weeks that follow, the weeks before Christmas, you search for Grandpa in the places he used to be. You look in the cupboard for his clothes, his hairbrush. We play with the ball he left behind, but it's not the same. You go into his bed in the mornings, hoping he'll have returned overnight, but it's empty. When I pick you up from Trina's after work this week, you have a dummy in your mouth, a pacifier. You have never, ever used one before this week, never even been interested. But Trina tells me you're stealing them from the other children whenever they're dropped. She gives you your own to save squabbles and for hygiene's sake. And I reluctantly accept, if it brings you comfort. I hadn't expected your loss to be so great, but it's clear and visible, and I feel guilt and sadness. Grandpa is the figure in your life I'd hoped he would be, and I'm responsible for keeping you apart. It feels palpable.
It's way down. Okay, we turn. Oh, that's better. Okay. We must have turned down the recording level, but now we're back. So it's the night of the EFC Christmas party. We've just got home. It's December 2014. And now we're having nappy change. And I'll give, yeah, I'll give you your baby. Here's your baby. And you're very, very tired, aren't you? But you are such a good girl tonight, and you had so much fun. Dancing and singing and playing with the boys and clapping every time someone clapped, weren't you?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, wow. Look at those stripy stockings. They're cool, aren't they? And you know what you forgot. Hang on, we'll pull it off like this. Oop. What's it called? That dummy that you've been using for about a week since Grandpa left, or 2 weeks maybe. Since Grandpa left, you forgot about it tonight, didn't you? You were okay without it. You were happy. Hmm? Yeah, that's a good girl.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just press stop on this. Okay, bye-bye.
As students and teachers leave for the holidays, I worry about the unstructured days ahead. I worry that our two-person family isn't enough.
Da, 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 da.
Which song are you singing?
Da, 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 da.
Is that Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? Is that what you're singing?
Da, da, sharp.
Is something sharp?
Ow!
Ow! Did you feel something sharp?
Sharp.
Oh, yeah, those little spikes off the Christmas tree, they're sharp, aren't they?
Ow!
Ow! Yeah, that's what I say when you poke me with them, isn't it? Ow! Do you want one?
Yeah.
All right, just one. Are you going to poke me with it? Ow!
Am I sharp?
Yeah. Ow!
Sharp. Sharp. Sharp.
Ow!
Da, 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 da. Da, da, da. Da, da, da.
And then we get two invitations that make me feel better. Two families invite us to join theirs. Jesper, a chef at the school, a person who's fun and cool and full of life, a friend for 5 years now, says we should join them for Christmas Eve dinner, a typical Danish Christmas with his partner, their kids, and extended family. I thank him but am non-committal. I don't want to intrude. But he asks again days later. They want us to come. An in-law is English, so they'll speak English anyway, if that's what I'm worried about. It's a genuine invitation, not a polite one. So this time I say yes, please. What an honour. When a great chef invites you to Christmas dinner, you know it will be one to remember. And it is. Real candles are alight on the tree, which will dance around and sing, all holding hands before the night is through, as the Danes do. Jesper sneaks off to dress as the Yule Man, Santa Claus, and arrives with a sack of presents. Toys for you which you love, including Denmark's greatest export, Lego. Mine is a coffee cup, hand-spun by a local artist, and it's beautiful, tactile, comfortingly imperfect, precisely proportioned to cradle in my hands. Every morning still, I sip from it, my favourite cup, and it offers a gateway to those great faraway friendships, to that candlelit Christmas. It's amazing what a coffee cup can do. Here we go. Let's see. We Skype home on Christmas morning and join our own family's summer celebration just for a little while. Then, next door, for a morning feast, plenty of pancakes and presents around the tree with our other adopted family, Anna and Jim, Elliot, Benjamin, Charlie and Mango the dog. They and their extended family make us feel it's an even better day because we're here. We're missing something, being away from home. But we're also gaining something. This is home too.
Merry Christmas. Can you say that?
Wow.
Wow. How'd you do that?
This production is made by me, Sophie Harper, in partnership with Wondery. Story editing by Michelle Webster.
Hang on, let me see what you did.
Thanks to my family, my friends.
I want to know what you did. You made music play.
And my daughter for being part of the story.
Oh, you made the... You made two different things play on the radio.
And thanks to generous listeners for your support.
And this one? You want this one to play again? You made Daft Punk play. Oops. Wait. Here it comes.
Music by Candle Gravity, Dexter Britton, and Broke for Free. Add music by Broke for Free. I'm now on Patreon. If you'd like to join the kind people who are supporting me to produce each new episode, go to patreon.com/notbyaccident. I'll be back with the next instalment in about 2 weeks.
Goodbye, everyone.